on the phone line right now is 12th District Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you. I saw yesterday you have put out another press release asking the governor to again push up school employees into the vaccination program. You got them shifted a little bit into 1B2, but your hope of making February 1st, that school vaccination day, unfortunately wasn't able to come to fruition. So what is sort of the push behind this latest sort of release and ask of the governor?
Yeah, well, basically, I did make that push, and the governor did respond to an earlier letter, but he pulled a little bit of a switcheroo with me, taking executive liberties with his timeline. So basically, the original COVID-19 vaccine phases timeline that the governor and the Department of Health issued called basically for in the month of February, we'd be transitioning to phase B2. And he had originally spread out the school employees in two groups. If you were above the age of 50, you could get vaccinated in B2. But if you're under the age of 50, you'd be pushed out until April or May. And I said, no, that doesn't make sense. Our school employees are helping to fulfill our state's paramount duty regarding education. They should all be eligible to be vaccinated in phase B2, regardless of age. And he said, and the WEA and other groups statewide really got behind it. And he acknowledged that, yes, they can all get vaccinated in B2. But then when he rolled out his latest vaccination schedule, he no longer called out the month of February for phase B2 and called out this vague sort of spring-summer. And so now, you know, in partnering with some of my constituents in the Methow Valley who are providing a lot of in-person instruction right now, basically my call on the governor is, he should allow the school employees who are in the buildings now teaching to get vaccinated in the current phase, B1. He should move everybody, you know, move on to B2, or he should just allow for some local discretion. So I'm kind of making a run at the opportunities for those in the buildings right now teaching. And, you know, the governor, I understand there's a supply issue with vaccines, but the governor likes to make comparisons to a 25-year-old teacher versus an 80-year-old Washingtonian. And the case I'm trying to make is, well, that greatly oversimplifies the policy discussion about vaccine access. Under the governor's current plan, for example, Kevin, if you're a 64-year-old teacher, you're not eligible to get vaccinated. But if you're a 65-year-old retiree who can still self-isolate, you can get vaccinated. So I just think basically you should allow all the people in the buildings right now providing education service to get vaccinated right now.
So I guess what would be sort of like the basic, what would be your opinion of how the state has handled the rollout of the vaccination so far? Because it sounds like you would be more focused not on so much age as in, you know, employees that would be considered essential workers, maybe necessarily over people who are 65 but completely healthy otherwise.
Well, I think in part it's both, because I do think, you know, the older Washingtonians should have access to the vaccine, but some of the younger people in critical jobs should have access alongside those older Washingtonians. And part of the challenge is, in my opinion, at least early on, it was way too top-down. Way too much. It's difficult to understand all these restrictions and who can get vaccinated when. That's why you saw a lot of the problems early on. That's why you saw a lot of the vaccines that were allocated to certain regions were going unadministered. Fortunately, that hasn't really been the case in our area. And now with the Town Toyota Center, the efficiencies are picking up steam, and I think we're doing a great job of using all the vaccines that we were allocated. But in other areas, that was a problem. And my preference, Kevin, would have been from the start for vaccine access or COVID response in general, for the governor to, you know, allocate the vaccines in this case proportional to the region's proportional population, and then allow for the local healthcare professionals to coordinate their own distribution and use their discretion, have the flexibility to use their discretion. Much like when it comes to the reopening plan, I would have rather the governor allow local control in some of those decisions as well region by region.
And I see your the Education Committee approved your school calendar bill. So what is the next step for that bill?
Well, I'm really excited. The Education Committee approved that unanimously. It now goes before the Senate Ways and Means Committee, which handles the budget for the Senate because there is a fiscal component to that bill. I just got word last night that bill is scheduled for a hearing before the Ways and Means Committee on February 9th. And I look forward to bringing this discussion to the public. Basically, the gist of the bill is that the state funds 180 days for the school year, and most of the school districts all across the state, there's 295 of them, they have basically a 9-month school calendar. And what I'm trying to encourage my colleagues to consider and school districts to consider is take those same 180 days that the state funds and see if we can spread them out over a more of like a 10-month or an 11-month school calendar. So basically there would be there'd be more breaks, but there'd be shorter in duration. We wouldn't have these 3-month school breaks. And I actually provide in the bill a little bit of a financial incentive for the school districts who choose to look at an all-year school calendar model. There's obviously the bigger discussion. There's a lot of things that the school boards and the communities and the collective bargaining groups, the unions, need to kind of coordinate. But the reality is, Kaylee, if we were to redesign our school calendar anew today, we would never design it with such a long break that basically forces a lot of reteaching every September. And because of the COVID pandemic, a lot of the students, due to the less than ideal online learning that they've been experiencing or the lack of in-person instruction, it's going to take some of these kids and the rest of their K-12 years just to catch up to where they were before the pandemic. So I think the last thing we need going forward is a 3-month break every year. So I'm trying to encourage everybody as we pull out of this pandemic to think about some transformational changes for our educational system. And I'm eager to kind of take this bill to the next stage and have a broader conversation. The Seattle Times just today published an op-ed on this issue of mine. And so for the listeners who are KPQ listeners and also Seattle Times readers, you can check that out today about this issue.
All right, Brad. Well, next week marks the midway point. So next week we'll talk to you about some of the deadlines coming up and what people need to be watching out for in terms of bills getting out of where they need to get out of to still be eligible and sort of some of that stuff. So, Brad, thanks so much as always. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Thank you both so much. Great to be with you.